This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Kalamazoo is one of four sites in the state and 25 nationwide selected for a certified community behavioral health clinic. Coming up, we'll hear from Kalamazoo Community Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services CEO Jeff Patton. But first, among the many decisions voters in Michigan will make this fall is whether to approve a proposal to legalize marijuana in the state. Proposal 1 on the November ballot would make it legal for people 21 years and older to possess and use products containing marijuana. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan is examining the ballot proposals before the state's voters this fall. Eric Lufer is president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Eric, as always, thank you for being with us.
Gordon, it's my pleasure to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
So when we say legalizing marijuana in Michigan, what restrictions would be left on using marijuana in the state?
Yeah, start with the idea of legalizing, because marijuana will remain illegal under federal law, but Michigan, like a number of other states, would make it legal under state law. And it's a fine line that people and businesses will have to navigate going forward with this. So first of all, you could not use marijuana in schools. You could not use it before driving a vehicle or other heavy machinery, just like alcohol. If you're going to be impaired, you could not have it on you or in your body. Employers would still be able to prohibit the use. They could still do drug tests and tell their employees that they cannot have illegal substances, including marijuana, in their body to maintain their employment with that business. And property owners maintain the right. So even though it would be legal under state law, property owners can say, you may not have it on my property. Do not bring it into my house. Do not bring it into my any other type of property. So it's sort of navigating, first of all, how to keep people from doing things that are adverse to others, just like alcohol. You don't want people drinking and driving. You don't want people getting high and driving, but also navigating that interaction between legalized state law, illegal federal law. Businesses have to do what's in their best interest, and the state law would not override that.
Nine other states and the Washington, D.C. have legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, so beyond medicinal uses. How would the proposal in Michigan compare with the other states where marijuana has been approved for consumption?
So the basics of it are the same, that you would be able to have it as an adult, 21 years older. You would not be able to use it drinking and driving. You cannot get high and drive, that type of thing. All the states that have done this have been careful to try to navigate the fact that it is a substance that impairs your body. In terms of taxation, we would be on the low end of the states that authorize it and tax it. The state of Washington, for instance, levies an excise tax of 37%. In Michigan, it would be only a 10% tax. So there's some dynamics to that. This is, of course, there's a black market out there where we've lived for decades now that people are purchasing this and using it. They're not doing it through storefronts or sort of how you would buy other materials. They're finding it through friends and people that are willing to live in that black market. So if you want to bring people out of the black market, a high tax rate is adverse to that. But if you see this as a revenue-generating mechanism, a low tax rate is not necessarily the best way to go. So, and it's sort of something to think about. Where do we want to go from this? What are our goals in legalization beyond the sort of civil liberties, the individual liberties of individuals? What does this mean for our society, and what do we hope to get out of it?
Is that money that would come in from taxes on marijuana designated for any particular purpose in Michigan?
Yeah, the law, first of all, as you would expect, it allows that money to be used for the implementation, administration, and enforcement of the laws. So you have to do this according to the rules. It's just not the Wild West where you can purchase it and use it any way you want. There will still be law enforcement. There will still be administration of this, especially with the dispensaries and testing and what have you. Then the law does something unique. It says that part of the money from this should be used for testing marijuana as a mechanism for treating the medical conditions of our veterans and preventing veteran suicide. So we've not seen this in other laws of any sort where they're taking the money and putting it for testing of anything like this. And then from the money that's left, part of that will go to the municipalities that have dispensaries or have testing labs or grow facilities, anything like that, go to the municipality and go to the counties in which those facilities are located. And then from the balance, it would go to the school aid fund and to the Michigan Transportation Fund. So, you know, when the proponents were putting this together, clearly they were looking at the what sells to the public, how can you get the political momentum to say, well, this is good, it's going to put more money in our schools, or the sort of pot for potholes type of thing. What we think is missing with this is funding for the health aspects of this. There's use of marijuana relates to mental health issues, leads to public health issues, and so you would think, getting beyond the political aspects of this, how are we going to use this money to treat some of the negative aspects that will come upon society, come upon our state, and we're going to have to fund those, but it's going to come from other revenue sources. It's not going to come from the marijuana taxes.
And let's spell out that a little bit more about what are some of the risks to public health and safety that Michigan would be taking on if marijuana were to become legal.
Yeah, so people who use marijuana in their adolescent ages, as young people before the age of 21, the science shows that that can lead to mental health aspects. And while this law clearly spells out that it's available for adults, the greater access to it has caused issues in other states, and I think we could foresee could cause issues in Michigan as well. We also see that there's, when you travel to Denver or some other states, there's sort of a culture that's built up with people using marijuana, and they're sort of checking out of society, not gainfully engaged employment or things like that. So there's issues like that that we have to figure out. Marijuana, I think the science is showing that it's not what they call a gateway drug, that it leads to other use of heroin or cocaine and things like that. But clearly marijuana is an addictive substance, and so you need to deal with addiction and deal with people trying to put their lives back together after going through those types of things, just as you do with cigarettes and alcohol and other addictive substances.
To go back to regulation for just a moment, local governments, as you noted, they would get some of this revenue, but that's local governments where these dispensaries are set up, because local governments will have the option to prohibit and limit those types of businesses, correct, under this law?
Yeah, they local governments would be able to control the zoning and placement of the facilities, so they can say we don't want it within a certain distance of schools or preschools or other material. They could say we don't want it in our municipality at all. They're able to regulate the not only the dispensaries, but also the processing and the transporting and the selling. So clearly bringing some money in to deal with those types of things is appropriate. We've asked some questions in our forthcoming analysis of this. You know, is it really getting the money to the local governments where it's needed? So while people might have to travel into the city of Kalamazoo or, you know, another city to purchase, they're going to bring it back to their home, which might be in any number of surrounding communities that perhaps it's not, you know, available for purchase. So the police in those surrounding communities, the local governments in those surrounding communities are going to have to deal with the same sorts of issues. Zoning is rather cost-effective. There's a little bit of money goes into city council dealing with these types of things, but it's the enforcement of the use of it and the people driving impaired and all these other things that impose a real cost, and that's going to go beyond the physical location of the dispensaries.
So you mentioned that there's a civil liberties issue surrounding marijuana, and of course there are always advocates who are saying that we need to do something about the criminal justice system, and this is one way of keeping people out of jail who maybe don't deserve to be there. What can we say about what a approval of Proposal 1 would mean for the criminal justice system in Michigan?
Yeah, I think as we've done our research and talked to different people, I think that's something that most agree on is that criminalization hasn't worked. Neither did it work with the criminalization of alcohol and the prohibition. It hasn't worked. People continue to use marijuana. They find a way to get it. They find a way to satisfy their needs. So we have locked people up. Our statistics we found show that more people are arrested for marijuana possession than all violent crimes combined in the United States. So this has been a huge emphasis for our police departments to try to control the access to marijuana, and people are going through the process, and that creates costs for the police departments, for the prosecutor's office, for the courts, and certainly for our corrections departments. So I don't want to oversell the cost savings, because sometimes marijuana, arrest for marijuana possession might be part of a bigger issue. You're caught speeding and you have marijuana, doing other things and you have marijuana. So it all folds into that. How many people are actually locked up for simple marijuana possession doesn't seem to be a huge part of our Michigan correction system. But clearly, decriminalization and diverting those resources to other aspects and then using the correction system, our jails, to lock up those people that really need to be removed from society should have some cost savings and some positive effects for the rest of us.
The group that wanted this to become law in Michigan collected enough petition signatures that it went to the legislature. The legislature could have enacted it without the governor's signature, but instead chose to not act, which means it goes on the ballot. If this is approved by voters, and then down the line it's decided by policymakers and maybe the general public that there's some unintended consequences and there are things that don't quite work in the law that need to be changed, what would be the remedy to address that?
So this is one of the failings of Michigan's initiative system, both initiating state laws and initiating constitutional amendments, that the proponents for any of these things sort of talk amongst themselves, decide what needs to be there, and draft a proposal, but then they don't ask the opponents to look at it. They don't ask the Legislative Service Bureau in Lansing to look at it. They don't ask lawyers, impartial lawyers to look at it. So it is almost without exception that laws introduced through initiative need to be cleaned up in one way or another. The process becomes more difficult if the legislature doesn't act on it and it is handed to the voters. If the legislature would act on it, as they have done with minimum wage and the earned sick time proposals that were introduced, amendment of those laws is a simple 50% plus one vote. Just a simple majority takes a day in each legislature, and then it's submitted to the governor for his or her approval. Because this has gone to a vote, if in fact it is adopted by the voters in November, to amend it will require a supermajority, a three-quarters vote in each chamber of the legislature, as well as sending it to the governor for his or her approval. So the bar is set much higher because of that. It's not insurmountable. Medical marijuana was adopted by initiative vote. It took many years, but eventually the legislature was able to cobble together a coalition, put together reforms that all could agree on, and they obtained those votes and made the marijuana medical marijuana system arguably better and something that works for those who need to obtain it for their own medical reasons. But it does set the bar higher.
Eric Lufer is president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Their analysis of the proposal to allow people 21 and older to possess and use marijuana will be coming soon. You can always find reports at their website, crcmich.org. Eric, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Gordon, it was my pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
And we do plan to talk again soon regarding the Citizens Research Council's analysis of the initiative to change Michigan's redistricting process, as well as the voting rights proposal on the November ballot.